I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout.
Today is Tuesday, April 6th. What to know about a plan to raise taxes on certain American corporations. Why some say it'll keep jobs in the U.S., while others argue it'll hurt us on the world stage. Also, some of the world's most powerful countries coming together today with the same mission, a new nuclear deal, but it won't be easy. Plus, a multi-billion dollar victory for Google. Why those ketchup packets may be hard to come by. And a March Madness finale with a history-making champion. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Once again, there's a new major proposal in Congress that could impact taxes and businesses, and it has lawmakers split. This time, it's about forcing American corporations to pay higher taxes on profits they earn overseas. For example, Amazon, who sells to shoppers in Europe, or Morgan Stanley, which offers financial services in China. The New York Times says, if approved, the changes would end up bringing the federal government an extra $1 trillion over 15 years. And that could help pay for President Biden's $2 trillion infrastructure proposal that we talked about last week. Democrats who proposed this idea focused on another point. They say it would take away the incentive for companies to move business and jobs out of the U.S. They're also proposing tax credits for companies who invest in clean energy and low-income communities. But Republicans and business groups do not seem to be on board. They say it would hurt American businesses on the world stage, since they would have to pay higher taxes than their global competitors. Either way, Reuters reports this could pass with only Democratic votes as part of the president's larger infrastructure plan. But there's not a lot of wiggle room there. If every Republican votes no, every Democrat in the Senate would have to vote yes. That said, this is not the only tax change lawmakers are thinking about. Remember, President Biden is also hoping to raise the overall corporate tax rate from 21 to 28%, no matter where those companies do business. And he wants to negotiate with other countries to come up with a global minimum tax rate. So this is a concept that has been debated for a long time, and it means corporations all around the world would pay the same tax rate. The goal is to prevent companies from essentially shopping around the globe to figure out which country can offer it the smallest tax bill. Well, now U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is throwing her support behind this idea. But for countries who attract big business with those lower tax rates, they likely won't give it up easily. The New York Times reports even if the top countries do reach an agreement, it could take years to put in place. Stay tuned. The top guy at the Minneapolis Police Department did not hold back on the stand about why he fired Officer Derek Chauvin. Police Chief Madaria Arredondo told the court Chauvin absolutely violated department policy when he pressed his knee into George Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes last May. He said while Chauvin may have had reason to use some force to restrain Floyd, it was only in the first few seconds of the arrest. He says it should have stopped when Floyd stopped resisting, and certainly once he was in distress yelling that he couldn't breathe. The Washington Post called this one of the most anticipated moments in this murder trial. It's extremely rare for top officials to testify against one of their own officers. During cross-examination, the police chief agreed with Chauvin's defense team that appropriate use of force can vary in each case. And when one lawyer asked the chief how long it's been since he last made an arrest, the chief said it's been many years. Also, jurors heard from the emergency room doctor who pronounced George Floyd dead at the hospital. The doctor said if one of the officers on scene had given Floyd CPR, Floyd might have lived, but no one did. And that based on Floyd's symptoms, it did not look like he had a heart attack or drug overdose. Of course, that matters because Chauvin's attorneys have argued it was other factors, not Chauvin's knee, that ultimately killed Floyd. Jurors have already heard from more than 20 witnesses in this trial so far, and testimony continues today. Arkansas was about to become the first state to ban gender transition or gender-confirming treatments and procedures, like surgery and hormone therapy, for transgender youth. That is, until the state's governor vetoed the bill. Governor Asa Hutchinson, who is Republican, calls the ban government overreach. He doesn't think it should be up to the government to interfere with doctors and parents as they deal with complex, sensitive matters involving young people. But the state's Republican lawmakers, who originally passed this bill, have argued the ban protects children from making mistakes that are hard to come back from. One of the bill's sponsors said the treatments are, quote, at best experimental and at worst a serious threat to a child's welfare. But even with the governor's veto, this bill could still become law in Arkansas. The state's Republican lawmakers could vote to override the veto, and even the governor admits that's likely to happen. Either way, several other states have similar proposals in the works. Today, all the countries who originally signed the 2015 Iran nuclear agreement are getting together again, hoping to revive the deal. Of course, it will not be easy. Remember, the deal was meant to keep Iran from building nuclear weapons, but the U.S. left the deal a few years ago. The Trump administration had argued Iran was breaking its promises, so the U.S. got out and put new tough economic sanctions on Iran instead. Well, those sanctions are still in place, and that's where the problem lies now. Iranian officials have said they are not willing to start up talks again until those sanctions are lifted, while the U.S. has said Iran needs to go first, follow the rules of the nuclear deal, and then the sanctions will be gone. So for today's meeting, at least, Iran and the U.S. will be split up in different rooms, even while talks with other countries continue. It'll be up to diplomats from Britain, France, Germany, Russia, and China to relay the messages and possible proposals from the U.S. And it's likely to take time. Still, some Washington analysts say there's a chance a deal can be reached. To be continued. All right, we have more news still ahead. But first, this episode is brought to you by Lightstream. If you're looking for a way to pay less interest on your credit card balances, listen up. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. So with a credit card consolidation loan, you can combine multiple debts from credit cards into one payment that may also lower your interest rate. And the rate is fixed, so it'll never go up over the life of the loan. Plus, there are no fees. In fact, Lightstream does not even need to say hidden fees because there are just no fees at all. Simply go to lightstream.com/newsworthy and you can put in your personal numbers and see the interest rate you would get with a Lightstream loan. Then if it's a good fit, the Newsworthy listeners can apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. That's lightstream.com/newsworthy. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Go to lightstream.com/newsworthy for all the information. Now, back to the news. Google is celebrating a big win at the U.S. Supreme Court. For more than a decade now, the software giant Oracle has accused Google of copying some of its software code to build the Android operating system, a system that now powers up to 70% of the world's smartphones. So Oracle executives have been saying Google owes them $9 billion. And the case made it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, in a 6-2 vote, justices decided Google did not do anything illegal and does not owe Oracle anything. They say the software code counted as fair use under current copyright laws. That's partly because Google used only a fraction of the code and then built its own new software platform. Still, Oracle insists the Supreme Court got this wrong. The company put out a statement saying the decision lets Google further bully smaller companies and dominate the market by stealing their ideas. On the other side, Google says the court's decision is a victory for consumers and computer science. It says the next generation of developers will now be able to freely create the best products and services that benefit their customers. Google still has more legal challenges ahead, though. Remember, the U.S. Justice Department sued Google, accusing the tech giant of having an illegal monopoly over search. Several states have filed their own lawsuits against Google as well. LG cell phones will soon become a thing of the past. The South Korean company, LG Electronics, says it is shutting down its mobile phone business and will instead focus on things like smart home and robotics products. When it comes to phones, the company has been struggling to keep up with rivals like Apple and Samsung for a long time. Reuters reports over the past 6 years, LG's smartphone division has reported losses of about $4.5 billion. If you do still use an LG phone, you'll have access to service at least for a little while. LG says it'll continue to provide software updates for a, quote, period of time. But it did not get any more specific than that. We all remember seeing empty toilet paper shelves at grocery stores at the start of the pandemic. Now, a year later, another industry is struggling to keep up with demand. Ketchup. The Wall Street Journal explains, since so many more people are ordering takeout these days, restaurants are giving out way more ketchup packets than ever before. And even restaurants that have been open for in-person dining have switched from those large bottles to single-serve packets for sanitary reasons. The maker of Heinz ketchup says it's doing all it can to make enough packets to meet the demand, but that making the individual packets is more time-consuming and expensive than larger bottles. Heinz says it's planning to open new manufacturing lines this month and then more after that, and it's also running extra shifts at its plants. In the meantime, restaurant owners are switching things up by using generic brands or hitting up other stores like Costco for supplies. The Baylor Bears won their first NCAA men's basketball championship in school history. And this means Baylor was the only team the Gonzaga Bulldogs could not beat this entire season. The game wasn't even close, though. Baylor was ahead of Gonzaga the entire time, and the final score was 86-70. It caps off a very unusual season and March Madness tournament. Remember, the whole thing has been played in a sort of bubble in Indianapolis. After winning, Baylor's coach said he was lucky to be isolated with people he loved. He spoke about his team, saying it's full of, quote, great basketball players, better people. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, thanks to our sponsor, Native. Native cares about your self-care, offering personal care products that you can feel good about putting on your body every single day. In fact, that's the main reason I only use Native deodorant. I feel good about what's in it. They include only ingredients I've actually heard of. And none of their products are tested on animals, and almost everything is vegan. Plus, Native also cares for the environment. They've been offering some plastic-free options for a while now, and they just launched additional plastic-free deodorant scents, including lilac and white tea, eucalyptus and mint, cotton and lily, and more. And you can now also get unscented and the aloe and green tea sensitive in plastic-free as well. Oh, and Native is also about convenience. You can simply subscribe to Native so you'll never have to sweat about running out of deodorant again. So make the switch to Native today, if you haven't already, by going to nativedeo.com/newsworthy or use the code newsworthy at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo, nativedeo.com/newsworthy, or use the promo code newsworthy at checkout to get 20% off your first order. Okay, now back to Trivia Tuesday. And today's trivia question is, how many rides are at Disney World? You can answer this week's question in our quiz posted to Instagram stories today. Find and follow us on Instagram to play along. Our handle is @newsworthypod. As for last week's trivia question, who was the first American to go into space? The answer is Alan Shepard Jr. He was part of NASA's first human spaceflight program called Mercury 7. Shepard's historic flight happened on May 5th, 1961, just a few weeks after a Russian astronaut flew to space for the very first time. Shepard flew roughly 116 miles above the Earth before coming back down. The flight lasted about 15 minutes and was broadcast live around the world. Shepard made history again in 1971 when he became the first and only person to hit a golf ball on the moon. NASA says he did it to test how far the ball could travel in the lower gravity. Shepard continued to train future astronauts until he retired from NASA in 1974. He passed away in 1998. All right, thanks so much for listening today. As always, we'll be back with more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.